Good morning, church. My name is Fred Mugambi. I've seen a number of visitors around, and welcome to Kerang Baptist Church. You're most welcome. If you're in town and you're looking for a place to worship, you're looking for family, you are at home. This is family. You're most welcome, and join us next Sunday. And for those of us who are planning to go back, please go and send our greetings back to your church. So thank you so much for joining us. Yesterday, I woke up, I had this weird nose running, I didn't understand. And then this morning I woke up, my voice was almost disappearing. And I prayed. I said, devil, if you are there and you're trying to frustrate me today, you'll not win. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your anointing. That today, as we share your message this morning, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for your favor. Thank you for your faithfulness. And I pray, Lord, that may your name be glorified today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today, before we share, I just want to remind us that within the Baptist Union, it's May is Missions Month. And our theme for May is mending. Mending is the theme for May. But our theme today is restoring. You know, when you talk about restoring in Australia, sometimes it doesn't make sense because Australia, we like to throw things away. True or false? You know, the first time I came to Australia, I was shocked. Must have been 2016. Just within a week, my car blew off. The timing belt went off in the middle of the road. I was driving the boys to school in Queensland. It was raining in the morning. I didn't even know that it was timing belt. The car just stopped. And I got a mechanic. He came and looked at it, told me, my friend, if it's a timing belt, just forget about it. Throw it away. I was like, my goodness. Why do I even get money to buy another car? So I got somebody to pick it up and drop it at home. The same week, our washing machine blew off. Before even you think about the car, the washing machine blew off. I got somebody to have a look. He said, oh gosh, this is a motherboard. It's gone. Just throw it away. I was frustrated. I was angry. And one day I got a friend of mine. He came and looked at this car. He told me that don't throw this car away. He opened it up. He told me that go and just buy a timing belt and something else. It's costed me about $300, $400. He said, if you bring those things, I won't even charge you. I'll do them for free. I went, bought the timing belt plus whatever else he needed. He came, he fixed the car. I used the car until the time we left Queensland and I sold it away. I did not throw it away. The same week, I got somebody else came and looked at the washing machine. He told me, if you go to this shop and just buy the motherboard, I'm going to fix it for free. I won't even charge it. We went to that shop. I bought that thing. He fixed the machine. It's still running even after that. It's still running. So restoring in Australia sometimes is strange. But we're going to see that Jesus is about restoring lives. Even the things you imagine that can never be destroyed, he restores them. I just want us to look at the beginning of Luke chapter 4, and then we'll jump into the question. Heather has looked for us on the other verses, but I want us just to go back to Luke chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says that Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left Jordan and was led by the Holy Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. I want us to just think about this, that as much as Jesus is God, he is human. That he was tempted for 40 days in the wilderness, and he was just as hungry as any of us, that we get hungry. And today, as we talk about restoring, I want to remind us that the work of restoration, the work of fixing, is not just a work that you wake up and do it yourself. It's a work that you need the Holy Spirit himself to journey with you. We cannot do this work in our own strength. We cannot do this work in our knowledge. Jesus himself, as the scripture talks about here, that he was full of the Holy Spirit, left Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So please don't go to the wilderness without the Spirit. I'm repeating, don't go to the wilderness or to that mountain without the Spirit of God. Because Satan, he's prepared. He knows the scripture. And from what Heather read early, Jesus quoted this prophecy in the book of Isaiah 61. And he selected Isaiah 61 to launch his mission and to announce that he was the Messiah. This prophecy describes the deliverance of Israel from exile in Babylon. Now, the challenge I'm having is, how are you feeling a prophecy so many years after these people have left Babylon? We all know these guys were tortured, some of them. Some of them were forced to worship idols. Some of them were forced to eat the food that they're not supposed to eat. But he comes and promises to fulfill the prophecy. He says, I am the one that we are going to see here, that the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. Because the Jews knew that whoever was coming was bringing good news to the poor, whose lives had been filled with bad news. Some of us, you've never been into the war. You can only imagine. But as we've been to a place where you're only given 1 hour to go and do shopping, and you get back to your house and close the door and lock yourself inside. We've been to a place, and I've shown you pictures before, where our church offices have been lit on fire while we are being locked inside. And you can see the people that are trying to kill you waiting outside to destroy you. I remember this particular day when we had fighting back at home. Our house was on fourth floor. And there's one guy, because that they had ordered everybody to be in the house, there was one particular guy who chose to be outside. and he was found outside. We could see from the stairs. And the guy was beaten up down there, ruthlessly. A number of bullets were thrown up, and I think one of them dropped at our door. We've been in a situation where our house has been marked by people to come and do something at night. And they knew the particular homes they would want to destroy. And I remember that day I was away, and she was alone at home with visitors, with her mom. And she rang me that today our door has been marked. And I watched the news. I saw they were showing it on the news that some doors have been marked. Whatever had gone, I was coming back in town by bus, and the bus got stuck somewhere in the middle of the road. We couldn't move back, we couldn't move forward. The point I'm saying is that when all you have around you is bad news, is war, destruction. Even when the good news comes, you don't even understand that this is a good news. He says that he has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Those long held captives in dangers and prisons of kinds get promised their freedom. This message is a prophetic message, not only for Israel, but it's a prophetic message for you and I. Because Isaiah the prophet understood this message many years ago, before even Jesus himself came and proclaimed that this message is going to be fulfilled now. I want us to remind us today, the same message is being fulfilled in our lifetime. He talks about the recovery of sight for the blind. He talks about to let the oppressed free, those who are being oppressed in foreign lands of slavery. Some of us have never understood what slavery is. We have families back in Africa, that their families, their great-great parents were taken away for slavery. It was so painful. If you got sick on the boat, you are beaten up and thrown into the ocean as a slave. Slaves were so mistreated. Wives and the women that were left behind were left with nothing. When the men were being collected in the villages and sent to America and sent to Europe to do farming, and they were paid nothing. I was just reading this week that for a slave who left at least four times, who left home and ran away, if you're caught for the fourth time, you are castrated as a man. And yet these people, they served as slaves in foreign lands, where you are not paid, where nobody looked at you as a human being. They saw you as business. When they saw men in the market, they watched you as business. They would bargain, how much would this guy cost? We still have places in East Africa and along the coast in Africa, where most of those places where slaves were hidden or kept temporarily to be transported abroad, some of those facilities are there. Even in Kenya, if you go to Kenya, a place in Mombasa, there's a place called Fort Jesus. It was owned by the Portuguese. where they kept slaves for waiting as they're being transported away. Your family is left behind crying. Nobody knows where you're going. There's no mobile phone, no email, and no return ticket. You've gone. They never see you again. But the Lord is saying that the Spirit of God is upon me. Jesus is saying the anointing of God is upon me to bring freedom, to bring healing, to bring restoration. Some of us, you may not understand history, but I want to tell you, if you read the history, especially between Steve can correct me, between the North Baptist and the South Baptist, the North were opposed to the slavery, the South were, and this is the church, the South were saying, we need these people for the farm since it's a business for us. And there was fighting. There was enmity between the North and the South. There was fighting between those two groups just because of slavery. The world. But Jesus is declaring that God has given me the power. Jesus is not saying that I've come in my strength. He's saying God has anointed me. God has given me the Spirit to declare freedom for these people, to declare healing for these people, and to proclaim the year of God. And to proclaim the year of God. Jesus fulfilled this mission. Jesus fulfilled his mission. But how did he do it? I was looking in his book, The Master Plan of Evangelism. Robert Kosman. Robert Kosman lists several things that Jesus did to accomplish his mission, but only picked two of them to share with us today as I talk about the power of restoring. He talks about delegation. He says that Jesus was always building his ministry for the time when his disciples would have to take over his work and go out into the world with the redeeming gospel. Jesus would have attracted the crowds, which he did on so many occasions when he fed the 5,000 people. Jesus would have put on the greatest church in the world. But Jesus invested in only few people, his 12 disciples, to go out and make a difference. And my prayer today, that you don't need to have 20 people. You don't need to have 100 people to invest in them. You can have one person in a year. If each one of us chose to disciple only one person every year, the Church of Christ, instead of declining in statistics, the Church of Christ would be doubling in statistics. Just one person. One soul. That if you can touch somebody that has been broken, for some of us it may not be slavery, but sin has enslaved some people. Poverty has enslaved some people. Drugs have enslaved some people. Drunkenness has enslaved some people. The slavery today is not about the slave of human beings, because it was abolished. And we thank God for people like William Wilberforce and people that campaign so hard to stop and abolish slavery. But the slavery of the soul is still happening in the world today. People have been enslaved to drugs, to drinking, to poverty, to sexual offenses, that the mind has been enslaved to so many other things. And the cry of Jesus Christ is not just for the human body, but even for the soul to be free. I met a young mother while working back in Nairobi as a pastor. And this lady, she requested us, the church. She came to the office and she said, please, if you people can only have my daughter to work at the church, I'll pay her the salary through you. Because this girl was destroyed by drugs. This girl was destroyed by so many other things. She was drinking, she was having drugs, she was doing all sorts of things. And the mother was tired. She had been taken to rehab. She has been taken to specialists. She had the desire to change, but she could not change. I've spoken to people that have told me that every day I want to leave. I want to walk away from drinking. I want to walk away from drugs. I want to walk away from this situation. But every day I try, the following day I find myself doing the same thing. That is how sin enslaves us. You say, today, this is my last day. You feel guilty. You feel embarrassed. You feel sad. You say, today I'm going to stop. And tomorrow you go back and do the same thing. My message today as a church, that we need to pray. We need to stand with Jesus. We need to proclaim the freedom. We need to proclaim, because we have the anointing that Jesus has given us to be able to do the same. Luke demonstrates how Jesus did this. That when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all the demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. If the disciples were offered the chance, I want to encourage us that you and I have the opportunity. We are living in a broken society. We are living in a society where we have broken families. We have broken souls. We have things that people, especially young people, are trying to run away, but they cannot. Instead of us supporting them and offering encouragement and praying for them, we are condemning them. We are accusing them. We are isolating them. But I'm a prayer today that you are going to take the same anointing and do something. I believe, like I've said, that Jesus has delegated the same mission to us to reach to the broken world. The second thing, as I finish, is a gift of impartation. If you look at the book of Acts chapter 2, it says that when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. all of them were filled. Let me just repeat that again. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. God has given us something that the enemy cannot take away or steal away from it. It is only the Spirit of God who enables one to carry the redemptive mission of evangelism. It's only the Holy Spirit. Don't try to do it in your own strength. Ask God to give you the power. As you celebrate Pentecost today, remember, Jesus requested his disciples and anybody else to gather in Jerusalem. He said, please, before you go, before I send you, I want you to gather and wait. Why wait? Wait for the appropriate time. Wait for the Holy Spirit to give you the strength, the energy to withstand the power of Satan. Satan is still alive. And as I finish today, let me read this. As we celebrate Pentecost today, let us remember the restoration work that has been delegated to us in our society today. That we have lonely people, grieving families, broken relationships. We are people that are struggling with mental illnesses. I mean, the list is bigger than that. Can we play it now? All right. Let's watch this and then we finish.
Mending. I love that word. It speaks of something being restored to how it should be and of someone lovingly, carefully doing the restoring. I see my own brokenness. We all do. And in my street, neighbourhood, across the nation, the world, I encounter many different forms of brokenness every day. And so did Jesus, as he embraced the messiness of our world, pursuing the Father's mending vision. Jesus put it this way.
The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free.
Jesus looked broken people in the eye. His heart was moved. He saw people as they were, but as they could be. He spoke and showed us all how things ought to be. I love that. And the fact that despite my brokenness, I'm graciously invited to join Jesus in his beautiful work of mending and making all things new. When we meet people where they are, when we get our hands dirty and model love in action, when we proclaim the good news in ways that make sense to others, when we pursue justice, peace, reconciliation and creation care, we become co-menders. We become part of the change.
Today, I sat with a friend who was yearning for hope and looking for answers. I had the privilege of reading the Bible together in a heart language. We're on a beautiful journey together.
It's been so good to partner with our neighbours and our friends here in this village, to see their reforestation vision come to life, to see fresh water flow into the village and to see thousands of trees planted. It's just fantastic.
The number of displaced people from Myanmar continues to rise. Our people face so many challenges, but we don't lose faith or hope. Through the support of Baptist Mission Australia, God is mending many lives, and we continue to pray for peace and justice.
Poverty is all around us here in Malawi, and it's heartbreaking. But with your support, we're seeing hope rise in the lives of young Malawians as they learn new employment and income-generating skills. It's wonderful to see young people grow and dream and even more, discover the love of Jesus.
People with disabilities shouldn't be pushed to the margins or ignored. But that's a reality in several places where members of the Baptist Mission Australia team serve. I'm so thankful to be able to pray for and give to these team members as they seek to transform lives and attitudes to model the Jesus way.
Yes, across the street, the nation and the world, God is at work renewing, restoring and mending. And we are graciously invited to join God as co-menders. Through your prayers, generosity and action, you can join Baptist Mission Australia team members and ministry partners in bringing love, hope and justice to our hurting worlds. Be part of the change today.
This May Mission Month, let's join together in prayer, generosity and active partnership. Let's join our God in mending a beautiful, broken world.
Thank you. My prayer today that you'll do your part. That the Lord will join with you. That you listen to your heart. You listen to your neighborhood. You listen to your surrounding and do your part. Let us pray as Heather comes to lead us in the last song. Father, we thank you. We thank you today for your faithfulness, Father. We thank you for your love, Father. That today we are living in a broken society. We have broken people around us, Father. We have people that are oppressed around us. We have people that are hurting around us that need love. And I pray, Lord, that as you send the disciples and you've sent so many other people, I pray, God, may you help us to do the same. I pray that may the love you put in our hearts bring light to the dark world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.